Welcome to the Inspire Ladies podcast, where through the mess, with all of the stress, we are completely blessed. No matter where you're at in your journey, if you're a seasoned Christian or still discovering the journey that God has set for you, we encourage you to take a listen. We are your hosts, Ashley Eberts
and Kyla Vincent. Grab your coffee or your sweet tea and let's see what the Lord has for us today.
Welcome in, ladies. We are here with a very special guest. We are here with Dawn Frelick. She is part of the Ladies Inspire community. She is one that helps behind the scenes, but honestly shines wherever you put her. She is a great woman in Christ and a devout American, and she will be telling us how we could be more patriotic with Christ.
Yes.
Amen, sisters.
Mm-hmm. We're excited to have you. Dawn, are you excited?
Yeah, I'm a little nervous. Holding a microphone always makes me nervous, no matter how many people are in the room.
Even if there's only us.
Yes.
Dawn, tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to Southern Hills.
Oh, well, a little bit about me. I am a born and raised fourth generation native Las Vegan. So I like to brag about that occasionally because fourth generation Las Vegan, my great grandmother moved here in the 20s during the mob era.
Wow.
So I learn all this history. And then the more I learn about my family, I think, oh, I don't even want to claim that. But, you know, I do brag about it a little bit because when I do meet people that are my age that are actually born and raised in Las Vegas too, it's kind of fun to kind of get to know where they came from, where they were, you know, their families and stuff, and maybe even how our families are connected. So those are kind of fun connections to make. But so I'm born and raised in Las Vegas. I've been married 30 years, celebrating 30 years of marriage October 8th.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, has it been that long? Wow. Till death do us part, honey.
That's right. Yes.
Anyways, we have one daughter. She lives in Florida. I've been at Southern Hills since the very first service. I attended Liberty Baptist Church for 6 years before that and was a faithful member there and serving. And when Josh and Heather Tice graduated college and came on as the interns over at Liberty, I learned later on that they were going to be planting a church in Southwest Las Vegas, which was much closer to where I lived since I lived about 30 miles away. So that's just a little bit about me, just normal. And I'm just starting to get in my little patriotic journey. So I'm kind of digging in a little bit more, especially with things being very consequential in the past few years. So,
yes. What do we need to know about how to tie an election with biblical responsibility?
That is really loaded. When I believe that we have really lost a grasp on our history as Christians, as a Christian nation, our founding, the founding fathers. So when I think about the biblical responsibility of Christians acting out their faith in the public sphere, we've actually been kind of, you know, sequestered to the sidelines a little bit. They've told us that, oh, we're not supposed to inject our values, our separation of church and state. I believe that the Christian has a responsibility to do what God placed them here on earth to do, which is tend the garden. And he didn't just set us here to do nothing. I mean, it's great. You know, we've been able to live this life and we just really want to kind of be left alone. We want to raise our families. We want to go to church. We want to do our job. We have a life that we're living. And I feel like we've actually been squeezed out and our values have been told that they don't matter. When I feel like when we've actually escaped from all of that and then we look at the culture around us, it's crumbling. So I believe as Christians, we have a responsibility to tend the garden that God has placed us in. And that means, being involved in the process and paying attention to what's going on around us. We are supposed to be the ones that are in charge. Not the people that we've actually elected. We're their boss. It's supposed to be we the people. We elect people to represent us. And as a Christian, we should be making our faith known and exercising it in the public sphere.
Yeah, and I like what you said there because I feel like as Christians, we do sit on the sidelines and we kind of watch because we don't know, well, what do we do? What do we not do? That kind of thing. Or where is my line of, you know, what's right and what's wrong? So to speak, in my role as a Christian woman, voting for more conservative.
Yeah. And, you know, it's easy because we've gotten pushed into these boxes. We have left and right. you know, we have conservative and liberal, and we have, you know, all these boxes that they put us in. And, you know, but it's just, I mean, we're all people that just really want what's right, but we know what right and wrong is. And I think that it's clear. I think it's just gotten muddied because we don't hear a lot of truth. The truth has been so obscured, and the media, I believe, is really integral in that. But
mm-hmm. Right. What does the Bible tell us about political leadership?
Well, if you go back to the book of Genesis, you know, you have the beginnings. In the beginnings, you have God, and then he created man. Well, right. God is first, of course, then man. We, you know, you have self-government. And then in Genesis, it also talks about there's three spheres. You have the family, you have civil government, and you have the church. And so when you think about leadership and political leadership, they kind of, it's like a Venn diagram. They kind of complement each other and can help each other out. But sure. The family, like in the family, is in Ephesians, we're supposed to raise our families.
Correct.
Parents are supposed to raise their children.
Right.
The government doesn't help you raise your children. Right. No, but the government can create the environment and where we can have a strong family, where we can raise our children. The government has, you know, you have civil government that's actually in Genesis chapter, Genesis chapter 15. I could be wrong. In Genesis chapter 15, it sets up civil government. And then you also have later on the church. Well, the church is supposed to train and disciple people, leaders. Well, you can't necessarily. So those are three separate areas of actual government.
Right.
So when you think about it, and the government, the civil government shouldn't be encroaching on the family. It shouldn't
Correct.
Be encroaching on the church. The church, when it goes into the government sphere and bears the sword to execute righteousness, then you get problems like what we had in the Dark Ages, the Inquisition, you know, stuff like that. And same with the family, the church isn't supposed to tell the family, but they can actually be a part that complements and trains
right.
church leaders to be good Christians, become good citizens.
I love that. I know that there are things that as women we need to know as American voters, but what are some few key things that you can recommend as a woman voting?
I would say study your Bible, because I mean, honestly, we have to be emboldened by the Spirit of God. We have to know the Spirit of God. We have to know what God says about these things. So being in our Bible, knowing what our Bible says about these issues is really important. As a woman, I think that maybe also just being able to dialogue, being able to talk back and forth. You know, women are
yeah.
good talkers, so it's
yes.
good to kind of work it out. It's hard to be to have all the information, but it's like to be able to search it out and even dig in the word together with other ladies, I think is really helpful. Resources, finding good resources, people that you trust, people that are biblically minded, that have a settled biblical worldview to trust, to kind of like, you know, either affirm or help you question what you really believe. You know, because I think that when you can know what something's good or something's right, like you can look like back at the book of Genesis and we could say, oh, God created them male and female. We can see that. So by that basic principle, we can take that into the political realm and say this thing that's going on culturally and now this vote or whatever is happening. So we can have that general. But when the lines get blurred, it's easy to be able to talk them out. Be able to go to scripture, maybe go and talk to someone that has a biblical worldview to speak into it. And be able to kind of maybe there's a lot of discovery. Like I am still barely getting my feet wet and digging in and learning, and I can't retain all of the knowledge. It's like drinking from a fire hose. I'm buried because there's so much, but there is so much happening, and you want to be involved and you want to be a force for good. So I do find that my politically minded lady friends have been very helpful. Some of them are much stronger and more forceful than I am. I tend to be like meek and mild and smile and all that. But I do have some people that really kind of encourage me. And when I think about encouraging, it's like you're helping somebody else find their courage.
Yeah.
And that is actually one of the things when it says that in the book of Revelation, where it talks about the things that God hates. The
yes.
very first thing is coward. People are judged for is basically being a coward. And I'm thinking, I don't want to be a coward.
I love what you said when you said being a force for good, because there's so much evil in the world right now. And us being Christian women, being able to empower other ladies to do the right thing is just so good. I even wrote it down.
Okay, so in Matthew 28, Jesus gives the Great Commission, disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always until the end of the age. So all things in Matthew chapter 19, you know, you think there's, in the book of Matthew alone, he talks about no fault divorce, taxes, you know, even wages and talents. And I mean, there's so much in the book of Matthew that speak to civil government things. And so when I think about the Great Commission, it's not just a gospel message. It's a life message. It's you take everything. It's into the public sphere. And even then, okay, so in Matthew chapter 6, he says, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, the word that's actually used for church is ecclesia. And so instead of ecclesia is being, it's basically he co-opted a secular term there because the church was not actually used until later. And so most translate church, but it's actually ecclesia, and it's an assembly. It's a general assembly. So it's actually a called out assembly. You know, ecclesia means a called out assembly. So it's kind of, back then it was kind of more of a secular term. So he kind of co-opted the secular term, and that's the public sphere. So when when he says, upon this rock, I will build my church, this a called out assembly. So he was using it as an idea of saying, hey, this is the public sphere. This is what I want you to do. And so it's not just, he didn't use the word synagogue, which is synagogue, which is what we actually use as church now. Anyways, so he basically co-opted. So he said that to go and do that, we're supposed to be representing Jesus Christ in the public sphere.
So I wanted to bring up Romans 13:1. Because that whole chapter of Romans 13 is submission to governing authorities too, which I found really fascinating. So I kind of briefly ran through it, but the first verse to that chapter says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. So I think that's so fundamental to what you were saying, is we have to make sure that whatever is in place is designed by God. God has allowed for a reason, and it's not just for other people to learn how to be submissive to what God has in place for their future, but also to ensure that we're doing what God wants us to do in those moments. Like Pastor said, like that's our prison that we're put in temporarily. And we have to understand that in that prison, what are we doing for God's word?
When he was talking about Paul.
Yeah.
Yep. Another thing is when you do these things, make sure that you're doing them in love. Romans 12:10-12 says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself, and be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. So make sure that you're doing these things all for the good of God. Just like Don said, be a force for good.
In the book of James, about doing good, yes. James says that to him that knows to do good and does it not, it's sin. And yes. So we are called unto good works. Okay, there's one that's we are called to good works. Now, when it talks about submitting to every authority, you know, God did ordain authority for us to follow. It's like we have these civil laws, but God is supposed to be the one that rules supreme.
Yes, yes.
And so when our authority is actually going against the words of God or making unjust laws, that's when, you know, we have in our system of government is a biblically based system of government. It's based on Judeo-Christian principles. You cannot escape that. The one way that I have learned was through the resources that I've actually really have gravitated towards. This is where I've actually got my feet wet and I'm starting to swim in the deep waters, is the Wall Builders Organization. Now, Wall Builders is based out of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. It's not anything to do with the border wall. Wall Builders is David Barton and Patriot Academy, and they talk about civil government and biblical-based government and biblical worldview of government. Historical, constitution, and biblical. And it's a wonderful organization, but that's where it was like, okay, well, when government goes off the rails and they're no longer following what our Christian principles were that the founders actually laid out for us, how do we continue to obey civil government and still obey God? And sometimes it really is conflicting. So that's where we have to, we in our form of government, we can take a stand and we can protest and stuff. And people are even suffering for protesting. acting, you know.
Right.
So there's, we see instances of things that are unjust, but it's still our duty to stand up and say so and call out what's right. I feel like that's where we have been almost silenced, because we've been shouted down somehow. And we still have to respect authority, and we can. We have leaders that almost, I think in our flesh, in our worldly mind, we look and we think, oh, they don't deserve any respect.
Right. Yes.
I will not respect them. But their position, yes, their position of authority, their title, whatever, but their actions will prove that, that fruit. Decide if you're going to, you know, actually honor that or not. You know, we have to decide how to carry out righteousness right then and there. And we actually have the authority to vote them out. We're the ones who are supposed to be in the power. Right. So, but yeah, honoring those people in authority and showing respect and being respectful, especially with people that you don't that you don't agree with, is, it can be very challenging.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, how can I like this person when it's totally not how they're trying to represent themselves, is totally not biblical, and I'm supposed to respect this person, and I'm just like, it's very, very difficult.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's, it's challenging because there, everybody is very different. You know, you think about unique individuals and then trying to meet them. Like say there's a few good candidates that are out in my district that are running, and you can actually reach out to them and talk with them and stuff. And they're good ahead of the election. After the election, you probably won't be able to talk to them.
Right.
But that's still when they have to still get a letter from you, stuff like that. But anyways, the point of biblical citizenry,
mm-hmm.
and allowing your biblical worldview to dictate how you respond, how you approach, how you think about maybe the issues, how you search it out. And when it comes to the people and personalities, we have to really kind of set the personalities aside.
Yes.
And we have to get down to, what is it that they're doing? What do they do? What do they vote for? What do they stand for? What do they really believe? You know, I can hear a myriad of people saying, oh, yeah, your faith, this, that. And then they don't. It's just words.
Yes.
It's just words.
Or they'll say, oh, your spiritual side. Or like, you're so religious. And I'm like, I'm not religious. I'm actually a Jesus follower. It's very different.
I was going to read a quote from Charles Finney. And okay. This is, and Charles Finney, of course, a preacher from many, many years ago. And he says, the church must take right ground in regard to politics. Politics are part of a religion and a country as this, and Christians must do their duty to their country as a part of their duty to God. God will bless or curse this nation according to the course Christians take in politics. So it's really our actions. There's a personal responsibility to hold people accountable to what they say and what they say they're going to do. There's a personal accountability us to God, ultimately, for how we vote and how we behave in our Christian walk, in our daily activities, whether in our family, our church, or civic government. So,
agreed. What do you say to women when they think their votes don't matter?
It matters to God.
That's good. I just got chilies.
I like that answer.
Because ultimately, that's who we're serving. We are citizens of this country. We are, you know, citizens or residents of the state of Nevada. We can say wherever we are. God has planted us here. Ultimately, we are going to give an account to God for everything that we do. And I believe that we do, in our form of government, we are actually the ones that are in charge, and we've forgotten that. And so I think that to bring that mindset of duty back, I think it really brings that responsibility in our behavior towards God.
I love that answer. That was so good. Okay, so you have a small group.
Actually, right now I do have just a ladies' small group. It meets on Tuesday mornings at 9, but that's kind of a hodgepodge. That one's just recently started. Now, I did have a biblical citizenship was my small group that I was doing, and that was so fun. You get a different group of people in there because there's people that are politically minded.
Yes.
They don't really know what they're signing up for when they show up to the class. It's a video class.
Okay.
So I'm not teaching. Biblical citizenship is a wall builders program. It's done through Patriot Academy. It is a 8-week course. video course that basically gives you the rundown and the history of our nation and then biblical, like how we can be better biblical citizens. It gives you the mindset of the Christian worldview. There's so many people that are on there that are worth listening to. You know, you have Charlie Kirk, you have Jeremy Boring from the Daily Wire. You would have Pastor Rob McCoy, Pastor Jack Hibbs. He speaks on there. But Rick Green, David Barton, and Tim Barton. David Barton and Tim Barton are wall builders. David Barton has the largest private collection of original historical documents pertaining to our country.
Wow.
So he has basically, they have what they call the American Journey experience that he has, and he has it in his home state of Texas. His son, Tim, is a pastor, and he's also the president of Wall Builders, and they go around, they do speaking engagements. Currently, I believe they are on the American Restoration Tour with Faith Wins and Chad Connolly. We did actually host them here at our church for a short while back, I think it was in the early spring. Biblical citizenship, basically, they have several different classes that they do. Biblical citizenship is my favorite because it is made specifically for churches. It's made specifically to educate church congregations in how they can be more civically minded and still stay biblically minded. So it gives you the foundations of the country, and it ties it all in with the Bible, and it gives the biblical doctrines from those beginnings of civil government up to the days of Jesus and Paul, even Paul under Nero, who was one of the most wicked rulers, you know, most horrible tyrants of all time, you know, to how to respond to wicked government. And so it still challenges my brain to think about it, because it's hard to, like, when you think about how they lived then, you're like, okay, well, that was 2000 years ago.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the principles that still apply, but in today's society and culture, and to see where we are now, there's a lot of similarities. There's a lot of things that are happening that we can still apply those biblical principles to. And so biblical citizenship is really one of those classes, I think, that helps it tie together. It kind of lights a little bit of a fire under everyone. And like I said, it's a different group of people that come in, because we're coming in, we're not based on life stage. We're not based on because, oh, we all have kids that are 5 and 6 and 7, you know. We had young ladies, we had, you know, middle-aged men, we had couples, we had, there were some younger people that came. And so they were all looking at how they could be more involved patriotically. But the class is about the video is about an hour to 15 minutes long. So it's a little bit long on the class. So you need a little bit of space. That was the hardest part for me, is have such a long class time, but it was a great class. And, I would love to host it again. I have not put together another interest group for some people. I tried to do the Zoom class. There wasn't much interest in a Zoom class. I was going to do it, the videos via Zoom. And then I was going to do it as a small group, coffee every 2 weeks, so we could have discussion and maybe figure out next steps. Because it was kind of one of those classes where, especially in this political climate and this season of political activity, people were looking to see what they could do. And so this was an idea where how they could figure out how they could get involved, how they should think about it when they're getting involved and stuff like that. So it was really helpful.
I think that's awesome, because I again, you know, we don't put those kinds of that kind of information in our brain to vote or to figure out how to vote or to figure out what God wants us to do with it.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. It sounds very historical too.
It's a challenge too, because when you look at when you're looking at, like, say, politics, and I remember if you're familiar with Allie Beth Stuckey.
Yes, I love her.
I think she's wonderful. She's a great patriot, and I think she's just a smart woman, and she's a great mom. I mean, all these things. But she had a sweatshirt on that I saw one time, and it says, "Politics matter because policy matters because people matter." And when you think about politics, you're like, politics, nobody wants to be involved in politics. Well, you need to be involved in politics because that's policy. That's going to actually direct how we live.
Right.
It's going to affect, if I can actually go to church, if I can pray in public, if I can carry my Bible to the park. I mean, it's something ridiculous like that. And, you know, and then you think, well, that's going to, because it does, it affects people. It affects people's lives. I mean, politics is important to our core, and it's hard to get involved, people involved in politics, because it's ugly. It's messy.
how do you feel that God inspired you and basically diving deep into it? How do you feel that God led you in that direction?
Usually what happens, I think, in the lives of most maybe moms and women, I think that when I had my daughter, it really affects your worldview of what kind of world you're raising your kids up in, how you want to raise them, the freedom that you have to teach them. And so that was kind of where my beginnings of the journey really took place. I would listen to a lot of talk radio during the day. And then 9/11 happened. And I remember being in my bedroom. My husband was at work and my daughter was about 2 years old, two and a half. And I just remember that kind of changing, like something has to be done. How do we protect ourselves? What, you know, like there's all those things. And I don't want to be based in fear. I know that, you know, God says, you know, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of self-control and a sound mind. And I'm thinking, okay, well, help me, Lord, to think with a sound mind, because I'm about ready to go crazy here. But I started that. It was a slow journey into just kind of getting my thinking cap on and starting to think about things and think about why things are becoming the way that they are, or why leaders are behaving the way that they are. And it just kind of made me step by step start to think about what can I do? What role can I play? I don't want to be in a public position. I really don't. I don't care for any of that. But I really do want to have power. I want to learn how to persuade people, but to actually bring somebody around to their thinking. And that was kind of what happened to me. I had to come around in my thinking, and that was what triggered it, was my baby girl. And that was the part that really made me think about a future, a legacy, the country, the things that were really important. And then going into finding the resources that just eventually, I feel like the Holy Spirit has really shepherded me into those little places that I needed to get those pockets of learning and the people of influence that I've been able to learn from. So I appreciate that.
That's amazing. Like as mothers, I mean, all three of us are mothers. And like just to hear that it changed your life and being an American biblical woman because you wanted to raise your daughter that way. We all are like sitting here like, hey, God, when are you going to come down and get us? You know, it's getting a little crazy over here. But if you're not doing your part and to fix it, then you're just sitting there and nobody wants to be like a duck with their head in the sand. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And it does say, you know, the Bible does say that we can actually hasten the Lord's coming by winning people. I'm going to look that up because I want to, yeah, I'm going to look it up real quick because it says it by,
I'll be outside waiting for you. Excuse me. Would you like to know about Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's go hurry up and win those souls. Cause we can hasten the Lord's coming.
You know, it's funny that brings up something I was listening to. There was this like little video short and he said, he's a football player, I think for a college football team. I can't remember. But anyways, he said, how would it feel if I was up in heaven and God says, sorry, your brother can't come because you didn't witness to him enough, or he didn't know the Lord the way you do. He's like, and I was fully responsible for preaching the word of God. How would I feel if I was in that position and I didn't do my due diligence at least in telling people about Christ? That would be so heartbreaking for me to know that my immediate family members didn't even know because I didn't do what God wanted me to do. I have to tell everybody about Christ. And I was like, I was kind of like, it kind of like hit a nerve. I was like, what am I doing? Like I feel like I'm not doing enough. And sometimes I think that that can be the thing, but I think the power of prayer has to come a part of it. So you have to be consistent with your prayer life. And like you said earlier, Dawn, your biblical life as well. And you have to be consistent with these things because, you know, we're doing it for God. He's the ultimate person who's going to be like, hey, this is what you didn't do.
I think about my duty to like be the force for good or to, but I'm not an, I'm not a public speaker.
Yeah.
I have a hard time, but I'll wear something on my shirt.
Yeah.
And then people will avoid me. No, but, I feel like that duty to tell, that duty to go, the duty to be, it can be overwhelming because you can feel like it's the weight, but you know what? God has called us to a specific place at a specific time for a specific purpose. I don't think that we always understand it or may not see it clearly, but still just being available. We're still being available for God's use. And that's kind of it, where you just want to look for those opportunities where you can be of use. You know, I could feel like I need to tell every single person, But you know what? Every single person is so different, and reaching them on their level is really challenging sometimes. There might be somebody that just came from a church where they really got burned or something like that, and they're not ready to hear anything. You know, they're lost. They haven't, you know, they've just maybe seen something ugly, or maybe they had an abusive family or something like that. So when I think about people that you're trying to reach, it's almost, it's really Holy Spirit led, and having that fire put in you. I think that that's why I feel like there's callings. People have the callings to be like, hey, I need to tell every single person about Jesus. I love that. Those people I would not be saved if it weren't for those people. It's hard for me to understand like my calling and like the going and the doing of, you know, every person that you see and what you can do, finding out what you can do. There's always something that we can do, but I'm always, I guess, looking for the thing that, Lord, what is it that's best for me to do? Like the good, better, best, because I could spend a lot of time doing this and this and this, and then I've actually neglected something that I probably should have spent more time on.
Yeah. And that's why prayer is so important, because you said, you know, you kind of ask yourself, okay, ask God, like, okay, what am I doing that needs to be done?
It's
what
a discernment. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like being so strong in your prayer life, God will easily guide you. And again, opening yourself up, like you said, and allowing the Holy Spirit to talk to you too.
Yeah. I don't have all the answers. I don't. I feel like I feel so dumb sometimes. Really honestly do. There's so many people that are so much smarter than me, and I don't want to just parrot back something. I actually want to be able to have understanding, which is why I tend to be a little bit more apprehensive and I hold back, is because I don't feel like I know everything. That's where I really find that my reliance on the Lord has been probably the most beneficial to me.
Yeah.
Is the fact that I don't have anything in and of myself. My weaknesses, you know, God has really shown himself strong in some of the areas that I feel like I've been weak, and he's still used my weakness for something that's good. So it's, yeah, if you feel led to do something, get out and do it.
And Dawn, for any of your, if anybody wants to be a part of that class that host, the Wall Builders class.
Yeah, it's actually called Biblical Citizenship.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. How would they get in touch with you?
Email me if they're interested in taking the class. I have not scheduled another class as of yet. I would like to do it on a rotating basis. Timing is very challenging for me to find a space and a time to do it, because it is about a 2.5 hour class every time for 8 weeks. If somebody is interested in taking the class, they can email me, Dawn, D-A-W-N dot Frelich, F-R-O-E-H-L-I-C-H 702@gmail.com.
Okay. And then for anybody who's listening, I can also tag that information down in our description as well. So you can click on that and reach out to Dawn for that class. So what are the amazing resources that you were talking about briefly?
For the one, Patriot Academy is online, and you can actually go on to Patriot Academy, and they have the Biblical Citizenship. They have another class called Constitution Alive. They have books and resources, which I brought a few with me. The history books that I brought, there's one that's called The American Story. The American Story, and then they have the second one, which is the American Story, Building the Republic. There's resources for Constitution Day. All these things that take place in September. The average Constitution for most countries is 17 years or less, and ours has been over 200 years, which is unheard of. Those two websites, and then I would really recommend Turning Point USA is amazing.
And then for you ladies, also another good resource, like I said earlier, is Allie Beth Stuckey. She's very, very good, and she, man, when she talks, I feel like she always, like, she has her ducks in a row.
Yeah,
she
knows.
Has her info, and I feel like she does so good at, like, her research and everything.
She's very good, yes. And also for research group that I really have kind of glommed onto, and it's the iVoter Guide. So iVoter Guide is a Christian organization, and it's nationwide. So you can put your zip code in, and it will actually give you your representatives for your district that you live in currently. So if you are registered to vote and you have a question about your candidates that are in your district, you know, whatever your congressional district is, whatever your assembly district is, tell you how they lean. It will also let you, they have a statement. Usually they have a questionnaire that they give them, and it's based on biblical principles. So you can see the questions that they ask are based in the Bible principles. And then they also have started to include information on judges, which has been really helpful. That's some of the hardest information to find, is on judges, when you're actually looking for those nonpartisan offices. So you can see what their statements are, how they kind of
but if they're an originalist or, you know, if they believe in a living and breathing constitution, stuff like that. So you can understand those things a little bit better.
Yeah. And I went on there too and I looked up. It's very nicely laid out. It's very easy to follow, easy to click into. I really appreciate the ease of it for sure, especially as a going mama. So.
Yeah. And if you're research interested, if you kind of like to geek out on that, like I do, the Barna group, George Barna, he's a Christian who does a lot of research on culture, what's happening in churches, a lot of statistics. There's some videos, some blogs and stuff like that, that they'll point to on his website. So that's really great. Yeah. So those are some good resources that are helpful.
Okay, cool. Well, wow. We've covered a lot of amazing things. I want to leave, off on 1 Peter 5:2. It says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. And y'all, we have to remember to be eager to serve God because he is the ultimate judge. He is the ultimate in the end. And this is why we're here, like Donna's mentioned multiple times. You know, we are here for God's glory and for Christ's purpose.
There are 90 million Christians, professing Christians in the United States. Wow. 44% of them do not vote.
Wow.
So when you think about 90 million Christians, that is one of the largest voter blocks in our political system. And yet, look at our country.
Yeah, they're trying to take us out.
Do we look like we are representing? Do we look like we're standing up for our faith?
We need to represent Christ better.
Exactly. And with us, I mean, and Jesus is not on the ballot. Jesus is never going to be on the ballot. There's never going to be a perfect candidate on the ballot. We do have to consider voting biblically and hoping to find somebody that's as close as possible to that will represent those biblical values. And then using our leverage as evangelical Christians, as Christians in our community, to influence those people that have run for office, realizing, letting them know that they do work for us and we will vote them out. And so we need to leverage that that political pull if we can, because our country's at stake.
And we have God as the power. Exactly. God is with us.
I was going to say, yeah. And
that's,
you know,
the ultimate power, man. Exactly. If God wants something done and he wants to use us, it will get done.
Well, whatever's going to happen with America, all I want to know is I'm on the Lord's side. So whatever happens. And I know that there's something that's much more than this, so that's okay. There's a land that is fairer than day, and it's not called America.
That's right.
Oh, so perfectly said.
And if you guys want more information, please see Don or read your Bible.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Read your Bible.
Hallelujah. Well, Ash, do you have anything else you want to add?
Oh, I have a question, and it has nothing to do with what we said.
This is fun.
Okay.
Are you going to Ironwood this year?
Ooh, bum, bum, bum.
The people want to know.
I know.
Inquiring minds like me. I have actually, I think I'm going to ladies retreat. Yes.
So it is the
October 24th through 26th.
Yes. And it is called what?
Faith Before the Fire.
Yes.
I was going to say it's always a good time at ladies retreat.
Yes.
All right, ladies. Well, thank you so much, Dawn, for being here. We so appreciate your time.
Thank you, ladies.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us today for this month's podcast. Please make sure you like, subscribe, and leave a comment on whatever platform you use for podcasting.
And don't forget to join us on inspireladies.com and check out the upcoming event for Camp Ironwood. It is a ladies retreat. It is going to be so much fun. And we, as a podcasting group, will see you there.
Have a blessed day.